Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well.
We're going to shift. We've talked the past couple of weeks about cancer. We're going to shift and talk a little bit about cholesterol this week, something that takes a fair amount of primary care doctors' time and attention. Just by way of background, you know, clinical practice guidelines sort of become the rage. Most of us are mailed practice guidelines, you know, probably in my email box, you know, 6 to 8 times a week I get something from some organization. The idea behind these guidelines is that they should be based on best available evidence, should be practical, and should be understandable so that I can use them in my practice. Perhaps the second important point of guidelines is they, you know, to the best of human ability, they should be devoid of any sort of conflicts of interest. They typically have two part. One is a systematic review of existing research, and the second is obviously the recommendations based on that research. The article that you are going to review with us today is from the New England Journal of Medicine. It was published in 2014, volume 370, and it starts on page 1422. It asks the question, how many more adults will be eligible for statin therapy under the 2013 American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association guidelines than would have been eligible under previous guidelines? Mark, what did they find?
Well, the shorter answer is quite a few. You know, as our readers or listeners know, the new cholesterol guidelines from the ACC/AHA, the ATP4 guidelines that came out last year have really made some pretty profound changes in how we're supposed to address hyperlipidemia. The old guidelines really focused on risk factors like diabetes and previous heart disease, and set targets that differed by risk group. So if you were higher risk, you had a lower target. The new ones really suggest that we assess cardiovascular risk, and if you are above a certain risk level for primary prevention, you should take a statin. And, you know, they talk about a 7.5% 10-year risk of cardiovascular events. That compares with a 20% 10-year risk in Britain. So they've set the bar lower than many other countries' guidelines, saying even these relatively low to moderate risk folks could benefit from statins. And there's a, you know, the reason behind that, it's not completely, you know, sort of drug company driven. I mean, I think the idea is there are many of these moderate risk people, and even if they have a sort of a modest reduction in risk, because there's so many, the overall number of events prevented is pretty substantial. So essentially, this study used NHANES data from 2005 to 2010 to figure out what percentage of U.S. adults would have to take or have a statin recommended under each guideline, the old and the new, and then extrapolated that to the overall U.S. population. So basically, they limited their analysis to adults 40 to 75. Again, this came from NHANES data, National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. And there were about 3,700 adults in that survey, and that was the basis for the study. So of the sample, under the old guidelines, 42% would have received a statin, which is a pretty high number if you think about it, 42%. Under the new ones, 57%. So 15% absolute increase in how many patients would require a statin under the new guidelines. When these results were extrapolated to 115 million U.S. adults in that age group, 37% would have gotten a statin under the old guidelines, and 49% under the new guidelines. So nearly half of adults now would have a statin recommended. That's over 13 million more adults getting a statin. Of those newly eligible adults, the ones who are now getting it recommended that weren't recommended before, about 62% are men. The median age was 63 years, and their median LDL level was 105. So a lot of these people have fairly low LDL levels, but the rationale is there's a certain relative risk reduction for with statins, And yes, that absolute reduction is greater in a high-risk patient, but it's still there for lower-risk patients. The biggest difference was in adults age 60 to 75 years, and so, and a lot of physicians who are in that age group, and when we teach about this, you know, we have people pull up the app, and you can get the app from, you know, for the iPhone and for Android that does this calculation, and many of our audience are surprised that they are now recommended as having a statin when they feel actually quite healthy and have what we would traditionally have called a normal LDL cholesterol. But once you're over 60 years, it's pretty hard to avoid that 7.5% risk cutoff. So basically, bottom line is the new guidelines would significantly increase by about 13 million adults the number of people for whom a statin is recommended. And I think we they also say by doing that, we're going to prevent about 500,000 future cardiovascular events in that population. So, you know, there's a burden of having to take these medications and their side effects and so on and their cost. The benefit is about 500,000 fewer cardiovascular events, which has, you know, which is nothing to sneeze at.
A number needed to treat or to prevent?
Yeah, it depends on the risk group. So, you know, if we have, you know, just as a rough measure here, you've got about 30, the number needed to treat would be about 30. You've got 13 million new people you're treating and you're preventing 500,000 events, so about 26.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, which isn't bad, actually, you know. But I think it's something that one of the challenges is going to be, A, educating physicians, primary care docs in particular, like us, about how to implement these guidelines, and then also creating tools that we can use with our patients to communicate. Just like you said, you know, I think a patient would like to know, how many people like me would you have to treat to prevent one event? What are we preventing here? What is the impact on all-cause mortality? And I think that, you know, apps and decision tools like that are going to be helpful.
They'll be amazing, in particularly you know, as we get more and more of these kinds of useful information, we're going to need those tools to help patients. We're also going to need tools to help, in a generic sense, patients become much more literate with these kinds of health statistics. Anyways, Mark, very interesting. Thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.